Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're discussing giving and receiving, right? So, we'll run two sections today. Okay, this should be section 5, right? This should be the 5th section. This is the 5th section. Okay, hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, hallelujah. So let's just rush. Matthew 28. I'll be quite very, very fast. Okay, have a lot to do that. So we're discussing giving and receiving Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of every nation, say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So, we've been looking at the fact that the authority, when it says all authority has been given to me, we said that authority is the authority to make disciples, right? And we saw that making disciples implies how one is enrolled into a citadel of learning, where what he learns is a specific discipline, right? That's what we're looking at. How what he learns is a specific discipline. He's not a jack of all trade. Hallelujah. He learns the specific discipline. The same way too in the local churches we said the local church is not a place of vast knowledge where we are taught everything but specific knowledge, right? And that knowledge is on the person of Christ. Hallelujah. He said teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So what is taught in the local church is restricted to the scriptures, the message of the scriptures. Hallelujah. And we looked at that word discipleship. Make a disciple. We saw Matthew 27:57, the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He is a disciple. Hallelujah. The Bible calls him a disciple. Right? Matthew 2, one who learns. Acts 14, we saw a multitude, we're called disciples. In Matthew 13, we saw that the scribes were also called learners. Hallelujah. So therefore, we concluded that in Christianity, irrespective of your societal status, whether rich, poor, politician, non-politician, politically exposed, non-politically exposed, irrespective of what you have in the society, we are all students in the local church. Hallelujah. We are all disciples of Christ. We are all disciples in the local church. So we can also say what God has achieved in the local church is equality. God has achieved equality. You know, the society, the world cannot achieve equality amongst the people in the world. No government of the world has been able to achieve that. Can even achieve that? Hallelujah. Because the society, you have inequality, you have different people of societal values. But in the church, the local church, in the church, God has achieved that. Hallelujah. God has achieved equality in the local church. If you look at Philemon and Onesimus. Hallelujah. He told the poor hotel of Philemon to take Onesimus as a brother. Hallelujah. Equality has been achieved in the local assembly. Very important. So, because in the local assembly, everyone is taught the same thing and treated the same way. everyone is taught the same thing. So everyone is taught the same thing and we are treated the same way. There is no, in the local church, there is no special treatment for anyone. Hallelujah. There's nothing like special, I am pastor's favorite. No.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. When we come together like this in the local church, we are treated the same way. Glory to God. There's no special seat in quotes. There's no special person in quotes. Mind my word, I said in quotes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, we also looked at what is being taught in discipleship. Right? Look at what is being taught in discipleship. Acts 2:42. The Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in prayer and in the breaking of bread. We'll see that that will come alive shortly as we continue. So that means that they continue the apostles' doctrine. We say that word implies the mode of explaining scriptures. So that implies that what is taught in discipleship is how scriptures are explained also. Is how scripture is explained. And we saw how scripture are explained. Right? We saw that scriptures conclude on Christ, Matthew 7:28. Obviously they were astonished at his doctrine, at his mode of teaching. For he taught as one having authority, one that the scripture speaks of. John 5:39, you search the scriptures, so then you think you have eternal life, which are daily testified of me. So the scriptures speak of him. Of him. Luke 24:44-45. It says speaks about the things concerning himself. So it says for Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms concerning me. Hallelujah. John 5, I skip that, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you more than whom you trust. If you believe Moses, you have believed me, for he wrote concerning you. Very important. So scriptures conclude on Christ. We also said scriptures are explained from Moses, beginning at Moses. You know, these things we'll later see the import of these things as we'll get into CLC. Scriptures are explained beginning from Moses. When I say beginning from Moses, I mean from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So I must read from Genesis. I must learn to read from Genesis. Hallelujah. Luke 24:25. O fools, slow about to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses. Hallelujah. So scriptures is read from Moses, explained from Moses. Hallelujah. That becomes the didacty of what? The didacty of scriptures, the mode of explaining scriptures from Moses. So we added one and we said our understanding or our explanation of scriptures must be restricted to the boundaries of the epistles. I hold this one very dear in these times, in this season. Hallelujah. So I must restrict my explanation of scriptures to the epistles. Why? Why? We said because the epistles are the teaching notes of the apostles, right? You see, we call the epistles the teaching notes of the apostles from the teachings of Jesus in the Old Testament. So we can call the epistles the teaching notes of the apostles, or they are the teaching notes of the apostles. We can also see and the teaching notes of the apostles from the teaching of Christ in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So you would also call, you can also see the epistles as the teaching notes of Christ taught by the apostles. Glory to God. Because the epistles will be restricted to Hallelujah. They will follow that. They will follow that Luke 24, 44 to 45 explanation. Hallelujah. They will follow the explanation of the 40 days. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said here, the apostles were committed, or they are the ones committed with the role of laying the doctrines of Christ. Hallelujah. So we just have to be restricted to what they have taught us. Glory to God. We have to be restricted. So Christianity is not a does not embrace vast knowledge, but restricted knowledge. Hallelujah. Restricted to what has been explained. Restricted to what has been explained. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 verse 4. He says, by which one you is, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as they will be by the Spirit, which only have apostles and prophets. Hallelujah. It is revealed by the Spirit. We get to look at that. How did, when he says revealed by the Spirit, what does it mean? Well, revealed by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So he calls what they are doing, or he calls, or he says, revealed to the holy apostles and prophets. It's not two different sets of people, it's the same person. The same office, it's the same function. Hallelujah. It is their function. What that means is prophet is not prophetic. It means like a mouthpiece. So he's calling the apostles God's mouthpiece. That actually singles them out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the foundational apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 10 or 9, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. That is the present section. 1 Corinthians 3, right? 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 9. Look at what Paul says. He says, for we are God's fellow workers, we are God's field. You are God's building. He is referring to himself, Apollos, and I believe, so we are God's fellow workers. He says, you are God's field, you are God's building. So he calls what he and Apollos does, he calls it, we are God's fellow workers. Look at verse 10. Say, according to the grace of God which has given me, as a wise master builder. Now, he didn't say we are master builders. Do you see that? As a wise master builder, he said, I have laid the foundation. He didn't say we have laid the foundation. No, I have laid the foundation. You have to take note of that. I have laid the foundation. He said, another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. So he calls Apollos one who builds on foundation he has laid. Hallelujah. Now he now comes to every other minister and says, let each one take heed how he builds thereof. Glory to God. So Paul quickly distinguishes the role of the apostles, the apostles who are prophets, from others, and he says their role is to lay the foundation. I believe is to lay the foundation, and our role today is the role of one building on the foundation of the apostles. So therefore, my explanation must be the same with that of the apostles. Are you following? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My explanation must be the same with that of the apostles. I must build in line. I must build in line. I must build with the same structure of the apostles. Glory to God. Are you following me? Hallelujah. And how will I build? Paul says it in verse 4 of Ephesians 3, by which when you read. So I begin to, what will I do? I will read. Hallelujah. I will read to understand what they have laid, what has been explained, and my explanation will follow the same explanation. I hear you. My explanation will follow the same explanation. So I must read the Old Testament. That's what does that imply? That implies my role is to read and explain in the light of what? The epistles. I must explain it the way the epistles have explained it. Right? Now, not learning it again. You are explaining the way the epistles are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. So, therefore, we can say we will now read our reading of scripture will now be. Permit me to use this word for today. We will now have what I call a. We are not reading backwards. We are reading into the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. We are reading from the epistles into the Old Testament books. So that we are reading backwards. We are reading from the answer. I hear you. We are walking, we are reading from the answer. Hallelujah. So my role is to read the Old Testament book from the epistles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember, we said that doesn't negate. I said this last week, and I'm saying it again. That doesn't negate the fact that the Old Testament book explains itself. We saw that during the revelation of God, that teaching on the revelation of God, which we still have again, that the Old Testament book is sufficient enough to explain itself. Hallelujah. Because within the Old Testament, within that writing, within that dispensation, let me use that for now. Within that dispensation, we have men that believe. Hallelujah. So for men to believe, you will discover that it is explained. Amen. 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 Paul will call it a mystery that was kept secret. So that is Sigal. It does not mean it was hidden. Kept secret is Sigal. A word you will find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When Paul says, when he that has not the interpretation of the tongue, he said he should let him keep quiet and minister to himself and God. And we saw that in verses 3 into 4 of that same book, it says, he that ministers, he that springs in tongues speaketh what? Not unto men, but to God. Did you see that? So when he said, let him minister to God, let him pray to God. Or let him pray to God. He says, he's not saying there is silence. Are you hearing me? He's not saying there is silence. He's saying that what? It's not a total silence. That silence is really good. So when he says kept secret, he's not saying that the Old Testament book was being not closed. Hallelujah. Or that God closed it. Well, we've done that study too. Or whether did God hide? Does God hide the scriptures? No, God doesn't. Hallelujah. It's unbelief that does that. So scriptures are hidden in the wisdom of men. Right? Scriptures are hidden in the wisdom of men. It's man's understanding that hides scriptures. So when you hear scriptures called, or Genesis to Malachi called mysterious, you just discover that, or let me put it this way, Genesis to Malachi is not actually hidden. That is better said, it's not actually hidden. But when someone like Paul called it mystery, he wants you to see that there was unbelief. Hallelujah. There was unbelief. There was unbelief also in that period. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. So therefore, we can say that the epistles explains, we'll read the Old Testament book from the epistles, which we say will explain the four gospels. You said that last week. Yes, I'm thinking I skipped that, but I thought I said it. Hallelujah. I guess I said it. As the epistles will explain the four gospels, better put the synoptics and the book of Acts. And we say they will stand together. Hallelujah. They will stand together because the four gospels will be the Old Testament books fulfilled in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following? Yeah? Fulfilled in the person of Christ. Amen. 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 So you will find in the fourth, okay, in the synopsis, you find, I always say, the words, the character, person, the character, and the words of Christ. His actions and his person explain the Old Testament books, right? Right? I've told us that. Glory to God. The same way too, the book of the epistles will now explain, because the epistles, the four gospels, I said this on the revelation of God. Now, the four gospels, Jesus did not write any book. Jesus did not write any synoptic. So Jesus committed his personal life, his work of ministry, what he taught, what he said, and his earthly work. Remember, these three, what I just said now, are actually explanation of the Old Testament, right? So Jesus was committed to his apostles. You understand me? To his disciples, his apostles. They became his apostles in Luke 10. So he was committed to his apostles. Do you understand? His disciples. Now, for them to write. So what would they write? They would also remember what his teaching too, he committed into their hands. So they would write his teaching, which will have as a thesis, they will write about his what? They will speak rather about his earthly work. Do you understand? Which will have as a synoptic. So what will happen is that the epistles will explain the synoptic, which is an explanation of the New Testament books. I believe it. Hallelujah. Which are the explanation of the Old Testament books. Very important. So we will say the epistles are explanations of the four gospels. Now the book of Acts. The book of Acts will have the practice in the local church. Hallelujah. We'll have the local church, the practice in the local church. We'll also have eyewitness accounts. Glory to God. Of the things that happened. So the events in the book of Acts also explain the epistles. Hallelujah. Those events. Remember, the book of Acts will now. Okay. We'll get there. Hallelujah. I really want to jump into this discussion because, as I said, we have restricted time to cover up a whole lot. Glory to God. I'm just going to stick to what I have on my notes. So, last time we saw. Which is last week, we saw God's benevolence in giving, right? John 3:16. Let's go to John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The first scripture that many people knew before even knowing Jesus. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But have everlasting life. Just a good one. God benevolence in giving, say, for God so long the world. So what is the background? The background is the background of Jesus and Nicodemus, right? Right? Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. And this man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabboni, or Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He said, thou art a teacher come from God. Well, Jesus' response to him was, Jesus answered and said to him, more than surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Did you see how Jesus responded to him? Jesus is responding to him, giving him the right dose. Hallelujah. He said, thou art the teacher come from God. So Jesus gives him an answer. Hallelujah. He came to cite him somehow. And Jesus says, hey. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, no one do these signs. He said, thou art the teacher come from God, but no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. Jesus said, except one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked another question. He said, except Jesus continued, is an explanation of verse 3. He said, except one is born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, see, except one is born afresh. Hallelujah. Except one is born afresh, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I say you must be born again. So he's trying to tell him, see, I'm not the teacher come from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 10. And Jesus said to him, are you the teacher of the Israel, and you don't know these things? But shall I say to you, we speak what we know, and testify that we have, what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you cannot believe, how can you believe what heavenly things? Verses, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who comes from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. So Jesus said, I'm not the teacher come from God, I'm the Son of Man. Did you see? Hallelujah. Not the teacher come from heaven. I'm a son of man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm not the teacher come from heaven. I am God's Son. I'm the sacrifice of sin. I'm God's benevolent. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I'm God's gift. So he said, for God so loved the world. So God gives. Hallelujah. God gives. And we say, how did he give? Or how does God give? For God so loved. So God gives. As an act of his love nature. God gives as an act of his love nature. He gives. We saw that he gives freely. Without discriminating. James 1:5. He gives without discriminating. James 1:5. He gives his best. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God gives his best. Are you following me? God gives his best. So I will say, this is what we mirror in our giving. How God gave. I will say, this sums up all the prophets wrote concerning God's work of redemption. That is God's provision in Christ. God's provision in Christ. So when the prophet writes of God's provision in Christ, you should see it as a free gift. You should see it as a free gift. So when Abraham was on Mount Moriah, and he said, and his son asked him, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? He said, Jehovah Jireh. Right? He said, Jehovah Jireh. It means Jehovah will provide the lamb. Not Jehovah will provide job. Not Jehovah will provide money. Jehovah Jireh. God himself will provide the lamb. That is God's provision. Hallelujah. So, now, when the prophet writes like that, and says, like Abraham being a prophet, he said, God will provide the lamb. He needs you to see that that provision is God's free gift. Hallelujah. It's not man that will bring it, it's God's free gift. So, God's role is to provide the lamb. Hallelujah. What does man do? Man receives God's gift. Are you following me? Man receives God's gift. Man doesn't. Man is not involved in the process. So also when Moses now allowed them to offer sacrifices, the tabernacle, and the sacrifices offered in the tabernacle, he's not writing it for them to see their works. Did you see that? Writing it for them to see this is God's provision. Hallelujah. Are you following me? This is God's provision. God does it. Hallelujah. You receive it. Amen. It's God's provision. So, God's provision. We receive. Hallelujah. 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 So, you should see that free gift. God's demonstration of love. God giving his best to rescue man. God giving his best to rescue man.
I think there's something I'm supposed to teach here. But let me see if I'm using your language.
Hold your hands in your hand in the next section.
So I'll skip it.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, let's see how Jesus taught giving, mirroring this example. Should I say mirroring this example or mirroring this act also?
Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus is God's gift to you, God's gift to man. Hallelujah. So Jesus will now teach us giving. Hallelujah. Mirroring this act.
Matthew 19. Let's see how Jesus taught. Matthew 19. Are you there? Verses 8. Matthew 19:8. And he said to them, why did I go? Why did I go Matthew 19? Let's rush to Mark 10, sorry. Oh. Mark 10, quick. Let's Matthew 19 for now. Oh, sorry, Matthew 19:16. I actually made a mistake. My mind is on the cheat. Matthew 19:16. Also put your hands in Mark 10:17 and Luke 18. We'll get to see all the similar. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher. Like Jesus. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's something I'm going to talk along these lines shortly. In some weeks, months, years to come. You know, if you watch, you know, it's just good you put things together. We read John 5. We saw that. What would you decide the scripture to look for? Decide the scripture to look for eternal life. Right? Now, this rich man came and said, what must I do that I may have life? Right? That I may have eternal life? Interesting. Wonderful question. And Jesus said to them, why do you call me good? Did you see that? Why do you call me good? Say, no one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, look at what Jesus said. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.
I follow him. Amen.
We want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which one? He's proud, right? Glory to God. He's proud. Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father. It's gone off. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept for my youth. What do I still lack? This is a wonderful line. 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. 22. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possession. I wanted to see how Mark puts it in Mark 10. There's something I need to see in Mark 10. Mark and Luke put it beautifully. Actually, should I say beautifully? They captured something that Matthew didn't capture. Hallelujah. Mark 10, are you there? Verse 17. Now, I'll read 18. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go away, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you have treasures in heaven, and come and take your cross and follow me. Come and take your cross and follow me. And when he had said this word, and went away. When he had said this word, but he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. I think you see what Mark actually captured. He said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You also find out also in Luke 18. We're not going to read that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He had great possession. He was very rich. Now, something you have to see. The rich man kept the law of Moses. Right? He kept the law of Moses. The man kept the law of Moses according to him, yet Jesus said he lacked something. Did you see that? Jesus said he lacked something, which he helped us see. What did he lack? What did he lack? Remember, if you have listened to which you're supposed to listen to, listen to our teaching on the branch and the vine, walking in salvation, we said from Matthew 22, when it was after verse 35, he said, what is that great commandment of the law? Right? And what did he say? Thou shalt love, or you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said, this is the first. Okay, this is the first, and the second is like unto the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I will look at it that if you go down, we went down to Exodus 20, if you should remember, right? And we saw that 10 commandments, what we call 10 commandments, those commandments we could break it down into two, right? We did that divide, right? We saw love the Lord your God, right? And we saw faith, which is faith in the Lord and love to all men. Did you see that? Faith in God and love to all men. We saw that. Glory to God. So, listen, I would say faith in God is actually what? Believing in the gospel. Right? Right? That is faith in God. So, when Jesus said, you love the Lord your God, when you say love the Lord your God, is actually faith in God. Now, I need you to see something beautifully. Tell me, see where I did this study. I guess it's not on this note. I did a study around it. Just trying to reflect. I have a lot of notes. I did a study somewhere about it. So, and I need to see something. So, what did he lack? If you just look at it, that what he lacked was that he sold all his possession, you miss it. What he actually lacked, if you watch, what he actually kept is what? Faith to all men. Thou shalt not commit, thou shalt not. Do you understand? Eh? I did not say faith to all men. Love to all men, sorry. But the major one was what he lacked, which is what? Faith in God. So, what did he do? Jesus had to go and sell your possession. So Jesus just proved to him that he had faith in his riches. Hallelujah. He had faith in mammon. I remember, if you read scriptures very well, Jesus never even equated the devil to God, to service of God. What did he equate? Mammon. Hallelujah. Mammon. Did you see that? Love for possession. So that's what Jesus just brought at it. That what he actually lacked in the real sense is actually faith in God. So he trusted in his riches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He trusted in his riches. So he cannot give. Hallelujah. He had faith in his riches. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see, the Bible says he was so, for he was rich. So, you know, that made you see that he was rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me show you something. Go back there. Okay, Matthew, right? Matthew 19 quickly. It's just a study I did, but not in line with, not in my notes, but I just want to show you that. Are you there?
Close to God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 2, right? And the young man went and sorrowfully went. He was sorrowful, for he had great possession. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Assuredly I say to you that that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you see that? And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." He was, if you have to read in context to see what he's talking about. Hallelujah. So, you know, we've just read an event, right? What just happened? And he said, he was so, what he's saying there is actually, should I say, is event specific. I believe. So, a rich man, what does he now call a rich man? A man that has trust in his riches and not faith in God. Hallelujah. I follow you. So, Jesus never said every rich man will die or will go to. No. At least, Jesus had a disciple who is Joseph of Arimathea, who is a rich man. Right? Amen. Can you see it now? So, he was referring to what? How do you follow me? He says, it is not. Can we read that again? Why is this skipping away? Okay, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Right? To enter the kingdom of heaven, what does that mean? To be saved. Right? Why? Because he trusts in his riches. Did you see that? So, God has automatically tell you that, he's telling you that this man lacks what? Faith in God. He doesn't believe. For here. Glory to God. So, because he trusted in his riches, he couldn't give or he cannot give. Hallelujah to the Lord. So he went away. And this is actually the call of Christianity. This is actually the call of Christianity. Giving. Hallelujah. Giving. Your best. Remember he said give all. All, that is the word all, giving your best. That is the call of Christianity, to give your best. Hallelujah. And in giving to the poor, look at Jesus was specifically saying, give, sell it and give to the poor. Hallelujah. So giving your best and giving to the poor. And you should understand, you should know that such act of giving is a demonstration of love. Is it a demonstration of love? I have something in my notes. But this guy couldn't give. This guy couldn't give. That shows that he lacked. He lacked. Hallelujah. He lacked money. So, just what I quoted, what I was trying to explain in Matthew 6. Look at Matthew 6. Verse 24. Look at what Jesus said. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Did you see that? So, the case of this guy is the same case. Hallelujah. Mama, money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Luke 19, let's see another event. What Jesus taught concerning giving.
Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 18 to 9. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Jesus and Zacchaeus, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus taught that in giving to the poor, Zacchaeus determined to give half of his goods to the poor and restore what he has gotten fourfold. Hallelujah. And Jesus also makes us see that it's an act of salvation.
Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Glory to God. So in salvation, listen, in salvation we are taught to give. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And not just giving our best. Look at Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. An event that took place in the life of Jesus from verse 1 into 11. Like I said, I'll be very fast. They brought gifts to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, I'll just take verse 11. And when they had come in, you have to read through. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary the mother and fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hallelujah. They didn't come with three gifts. Hallelujah. This is just a summary of what like a summary. Hallelujah. They didn't come with three gifts. Amen. They came with gifts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they brought gift to Jesus. Now, let's see something. If you read through,
the role of God and that of the angel, was did he see any instruction from God or through the angel that they should take gifts to Jesus? There was no such instruction. I believe there was no such instruction. So they brought those gifts in honor to Jesus.
Do you see that? They brought it in honor to Jesus as an act of worship. You need to see this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, because Jesus committed
his life, listen, his ministry, his earthly work, his ministry, and what he put in the hands of the apostles. So, and before he committed it, he actually taught them. You see that? He taught them. And if you read, the guys on their way to Emmaus, the Bible says, didn't our heart burn within us? Did you see that? So that would be the resultant effect of the 40 days. Did you see that? Also, that would be the effect of the 40 days, their heart will burn, and the scripture is open. Ah, scales are falling. John will record it and say, he planted on them. But Jesus said, he quickened. That would mean to be quickened from within. If we saw, did you get it? They were quickened from within. Whoa, they cannot see. Now, that means whatever they will write concerning Christ. Remember, I told you that Jesus wanted the story to be told from his resurrection. Are you following me? Now, whatever will write concerning Christ, they will not just write stories. Because if the story of Christ is not written from his resurrection, you only have a mere tales by moonlight. Did you get it? You don't have a mere tales by moonlight. You don't have a mere story. But he had the reason why or how the story should be told from the resurrection. How or what was the core of the words of the prophet? His resurrection. Did you see that? So I wanted to see something there. So that means how they will write about the synoptic, what their writing would entail would be from his resurrection, right? Resurrection part. I mean, from the resurrection, that will now mean, since theology, listen, since what we have from Genesis to Malachi will be theology, and Jesus has just explained his events. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Did you see that? Which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me, and he opened ye their understanding, and they might comprehend the scripture. Would that also include his earthly work? Yes. So that means how they would write the synoptic will not be a story. The way they would write the synoptic will be theology.
Are you following me?
Will be theology. So when you get to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, you are not reading Jesus' story like a tales by moonlight or like a story book. No, you are reading Jesus' story as theology, the story of God.
Are you following me?
It's theology, you are reading. So I said that too because of what I want to say then.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, they will write for you to now see that the wise men brought gifts to worship. This is that. So that means giving is a worship in honor
of what Christ has done.
I believe that giving is a is what is worship. So, in the local church, when we come together, part of our worship, part of our service to God, part of our worship, the one part of our worship in Christian gathering is giving. Is what? Is giving. So, as I get prepared out for a Christian service, for a Christian meeting, I must also get prepared to give. I am going there to worship. I'm going there to serve. So part of what I will do is to give. So giving is service. Are you following me?
Are you following me?
Amen. Giving is service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they brought it in honor to Jesus. In Matthew 27:57-61. Look at Joseph of Arimathea, Matthew 27, verse 57. Look at what's happening. Therefore, when the evening has come, I wanted to see this. I wanted to read this. You know, I told us something just now that Jesus' life, earthly work, was fulfilling scripture. We're going to see that shortly. Look at verse 57. When the evening had come, that there came a rich man from what Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself was had also become a disciple of Jesus. Did you see that? Now, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, he laid it in his tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read an account to us. I have to read an account to us quickly. Let's open to Mark. I'm going to check Mark 14 quickly.
Well, open to Isaiah quickly. Open to Isaiah 53. Let me read something else. Okay. Isaiah 53, right? Let's look at Isaiah 53. My message is I've been doing a lot of stuff. This is 9. Are you there? He says, and he made his grave with the wicked. But, are you there? See, and he made his grave with the wicked, but with the riches at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Did you see that? So when he was, when Joseph of Arimathea
buried him in his tomb, was a fulfillment of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was scripture fulfilled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, let's see something from Mark's account quickly. Mark's account, Mark. Mark 14, quickly. Is it, why do I like Mark 14? Mark 15, sorry. Verses 27. And with him, they also crucified two robbers. This is Jesus. They crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left, so that the scripture was fulfilled. Did you see that? That same Isaiah 53. That scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. This, so his earthly life was the fulfillment of scripture. Amen. Isaiah 53, look at verse 12. He said, therefore I will divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he has poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of men, and made intercession for the transgressors. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, the brother on the cross was actually a fulfillment of scripture. So you can see. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
But we'll look at all these things later. Amen. So, Joseph of Arimathea gave in honor to Jesus, fulfilling Isaiah. He gave in honor.
He stole. Hallelujah.
His tomb, he gave it. In Luke 8, Luke 8, verse 2. We've got to be fast now. Luke 8, verse 2. He says, and certain women who, Luke 8, right? Verse 2. A certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmity, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Jonah the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Did you see that? From their what? From their substance. What did they do? They provided for him. Glory to God. From their substance, their possession. So they have women that gave financially to Jesus, to Jesus' ministry. They gave willingly.
You didn't see that Jesus had them to bring. No, he gave willingly.
They supported him. They supported Jesus willingly. In chapter 10 of Luke, verse 38. Now it happened when they had entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into his house, and had a sister called Mary who sat at his feet. Hallelujah. Sat at his feet. Look at what, and heard the word. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister... Okay. So, look at something there. She was distracted with much serving. Hallelujah. So that means she was actually having a selfless... should I call it selflessly?
Okay.
Selflessly, she was trying to get something for Jesus. Hallelujah.
I am glory to God. She gave to Jesus also.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Luke 5, we have Simon Peter gave Jesus his sheep, his boat. Hallelujah. And Jesus used it to what? For ministry. Jesus uses that boat for ministry. Jesus taught from the boat. So she gave Jesus his boots, and that boat was useful for ministry. In John 6, the young guy, let's look at John 6. There was a young guy, after Jesus was done teaching. Verses 7. And Philip answered and said, no, there were about 5,000 men, and Jesus asked Philip in verse 5, where shall we buy bread that they may eat? Verse 6, for this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You see? Hallelujah. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have little. Even if they have this, it will not be enough. 2,000 there. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad, a young boy, here, who has five barely loaves and two small fishes. Yeah, to put it there, two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. And when now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. Hallelujah. I want to see something. The young boy gave
his meal without obligated, without being forced to, was not coerced to do so.
He did willingly.
Hallelujah.
He did willingly. Amen.
He did willingly. Is that in honor? That is in honor.
In John 12, verse 3. And Mary took a pound of very costly oil. Of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, who would betray him, said, and he ranted his mouth and said, nonsense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus called. Let's see what Jesus called the act of the woman by verse 7. Jesus said, let her alone. She kept this for the day of, she has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 26. How Matthew puts it. Matthew 26. The same event. Look at what he said in verse 10. The same event. He says, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. She has done a good work. So Jesus calls the act of the woman a good work. It's a good work. Mark also records it the same way in Mark 14, verse 3. Verse 6. She has done a good work. Verse 6. Hallelujah. She has done a good work for me. A good work. So that act. Hallelujah. Jesus calls it a good work. So from what we've read in the synoptics, we can see that Jesus in his teaching did not prescribe, that I would actually get some people off my head for that. Hallelujah. Jesus did not prescribe percentages that people give to him. Did you see any percentage there? Yeah? Nobody gave out of compulsion. They gave to meet needs. They gave in support to his ministry and to honor him. I'll take that again. Jesus did not prescribe percentages. Nobody gave him out of compulsion or coerced. They all gave to meet needs. The received needs, they met needs. And also they gave to support his ministry and to honor him. Hallelujah. So let's get into the book of Acts quickly. How did the apostles teach, or better see, how was given practice in the book of Acts? Acts 2, verses 42, quickly. I have a few minutes left. Acts 2, 42. It says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Take note. Let's see what is key. The new converts, right? Hallelujah. That's what is key. So they continue the apostles' doctrine. I just keep having a lot of. I'm mixing this up. What the problem? Should be able to deal with it. There. Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. So I said, let's see what's key here. Verses, we see they continue the apostles' doctrine in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Did you see? Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided among all as anyone had need. Do you see that? Verse 46. So continue daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. For the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Glory to God. So quickly, what's key here is that they had people who sold their belongings to bring to the church. Let's see that. 45 again. And they sold their possession and goods and divided them amongst all as everyone had need. So they brought everything they had, 100%. They brought everything they had, 100%. Very key.
It was done generously to meet needs as anyone had need. Did you see that? Hallelujah. As anyone had need. So scripture makes us see that that was the teaching of the apostles. Read us that the teaching of the apostles. What? That they taught the people about giving generously to meet needs. Which needs? The need in the local church. In the local church. The need in the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 44, it said they had all things in common. They had all things in common. That shows equality, meaning no one lacked. No one lacked anything. The local church. Did you see that? Did you see the idea of the local church? No one lacked anything. In chapter 4, very similar, verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were in one heart and one soul, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. He had all things in common. And great power, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. What was the great grace? Let's see. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the great grace was in respect to what they are giving. Are you following me? Hallelujah. And great grace was upon them. Said there was none who lacked. For all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. And laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as they had need. Quickly, let's look at verse 36 before I say what I want to say. And Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement. Called the son of a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So, we find the same thing also in Acts 4. They laid it at the apostles' feet. The same way they sold lands too, sold their possession and brought all and laid it at the apostles' feet. What does it imply when they say apostles' feet? The word apostles' feet or the word feet is used figuratively. Maybe not all the time in scripture, but majority of the time in scriptures is used figuratively. The first time we read at anyone's feet was where we just read from Luke 10:35 that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Let's say that again. Luke 10:35. It says, are you there? Look there. Sorry, 39. And had a sister Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Watch that word. He heard his word. So, it's not used literal that Mary sat at Jesus' legs. No. Rather, 36 shows us. Why don't that? Verse 40 shows us what Martha was doing. Martha was busy, and Mary heard the word. Did you see that? And that was why Jesus' response was that the one thing that is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her, which she was hearing the word. She became a student. Automatically, she sat amongst the disciples. Hallelujah. Verse 70. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So it shows that the act of listening or giving oneself to the word is called to be at one's feet. Discipleship. Discipleship. In Acts 7, Acts 7:58. It says, and they cast him out, Stephen, and out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. At the feet of Saul. That is, all they did was they were under the authority of Saul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, at the authority of Saul. In Acts 10:25, we see that word again. Acts 10:25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him as an act of honor. At his feet and worshipped him. It's used as an act of honor. In Acts 22:3, Paul will say he leant at the feet of Gamaliel. Isn't at the feet of Gamaliel. So to be at one's feet is a word used for discipleship. The word used for discipleship and honor. Discipleship and honor. It is used for being under the authority of another. It shows an act of discipleship. Right? That's what I've said. So let's look at this. An act of discipleship is giving. Right? So when he says they gave at the apostles' feet, he's not just giving anyhow, but they gave according to the leadership of the apostles. So we can say the leadership of the pastor. Did you see that? So they gave according to the leadership instructions of the pastor. Apostles' feet. We're going to see that now. See, I have in my notes, inasmuch as we want to meet the need in the local church, or want to meet needs in the local church, it must come under the administration. That's the word feet. Of the local church. That is, the giving will be administered through the local church, not doing secret giving. Are you following me? So you must give in the open. Don't just meet the brother outside and say, I'm led to give 10,000. I'm led to give 10,000. No. Hallelujah. It must be done with the administration of the local church. Are you following me? Hallelujah. No secret giving. And because some people can be mischievous. So let the leadership handle the distribution, not you. In Acts 6, we saw that it was the leadership. In fact, when the apostles could not handle it, what did they do? They delegated, right? Right? So the things for the widows will come into the church and to be administered through the leadership of the church to those who have need. And we're going to see the import of this in the next session. Do you understand me? It's not everybody that is actually having need in the local church that local church will meet their needs. You see that? So you don't just, it's just as I mean. Someone having need in the local church, should you just walk? No. There's a way to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that is what we are adopting. That is what we have. Right? That is what we
If it's not properly properly, we are now be more strict on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Must come through the what leadership of the Lord. A branch manager says, I'm led to give 30k. There's no way that sister will not worship you. There's no way. Just imagine a brother who's giving you 20k every weekend. You will come in earlier than even the gatekeeper. Hallelujah. In fact, on Friday you'll be dreaming on Saturday because you know there's a 20,000. And tomorrow if the brother tells you, the Lord is speaking to me that you are the bone of my bone, and then you will not even remember doctrine. You say, I am not even the bone. I am that wicked spot that has come close to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, people can be mischievous with that thing called money. You understand? They can be mischievous. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me say this. People can be mischievous. Some people, they can buy any and every product. I will say this, there is someone that had to visit us. First time of coming to a meeting, after she came, she heard the word, she was blessed. And all of a sudden, days after, I guess it was my birthday, I had my birthday period, and I got a call from a friend. I said, there was the sister that came for meeting last week. And I said, yes. So the sister said, you should send your account number. Pastor, send your account number so that she can do something. Yeah. And funny enough, at that period, I didn't get money. I didn't get money, and I was even quoting the doctor of flower on my knees according to the riches in glory, all through work. I just got that call. Send your account number. Somebody wants to just. And I said, no. Glory to God. I don't know. Let the sister come for me to know this. Let me see at this. You cannot just come to a place new. First time and you saw with this word, with the way you teach in the Greek and Hebrew, very simple, simplicity. You can't be using this place. I want to pay for an ultra modern facility for you. You are not very blessed. You think that is the leading of the Spirit. Yeah, we'll pray for you. Alright, go on that song. Who prayed for you? Yeah, but if you have the we love you. With the whole of our spirit, you're welcome. To the wonderful family, we love you. We pray for you. Hallelujah. But you know what? That was the last time she attended this thing. I didn't even see her in this chapter. Oh yeah, she come for me to see. Amen. But you are mysterious. Maybe you don't collect it next week. You don't send you another money. Now throw another one. Let's not say her. Hallelujah, man. In their service, come and hold it in my house. She will now be your voice in the wilderness. Glory to God. So you got to be careful. Some people can be mysterious. So let it come through the leadership. And also not just for the people, but also for those who even have needs. Hallelujah. In fact, once you get to the second session, we discover that Paul even told Timothy the set of even widows that we've been given. Thank you, Lord. I have been given food in Acts. Paul not even gave instructions. Do you understand? For widows that qualify. Meaning that people who have need, who see, who do not even qualify to be supported. Amen. Did you get? So you have to leave it to the leadership. I remember someone one time that brought
should I call it? Bought clothes. And I said, sir, I want to share these clothes to all the members. See, he tried. I'm not just teaching. I always communicate. What is that? You want to now share clothes to all the members? As who? Mary in the body of Christ. If you cannot wear your clothes, go and give it to Mother Let's Be Home. I'm not saying to you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, well, I'm fast-forwarding my notes. I'm sorting it very well. So I said some people can be mischievous, right?
Right, so it must come under the leadership, authority,
rule, control, administration of the local church. In verse 36 of that act, look at what he said. He then gave us an example of Barnabas. He said he was called a son of consolation. And why was he called a son of consolation? It was based on what he did. He sold his land and brought the money to the apostles for onward distribution. He brought everything. Everything. When in Acts 4, he brought everything. There's something you need to notice here. Luke said he brought all. Have you seen it? He brought all. Why? Why? Well, it is evident from what Luke wrote that what drove them to give is love. What drove them to give is love. If we read from chapter 2, they had everything in common. So it was love that drove them to give. And also, they had to meet needs. He said they had everything in common. So they had to meet needs in the local church. Hallelujah. And they weighed it above material possession. That's what it shows. For you to sell everything. I know there's no selfish thing. You know, Satan plays a long game. And there is no selfish thing that people say. It's selfishness. It's selfish. It's not God that teaches that. And they say, even Christians, I've heard among Christians. You hear things like, I cannot love you more than I love myself. That's stupidity. Hallelujah. That's stupidity. They say, I will love you to the degree that I love myself. See, the example we have laid for us to follow is that Jesus loved us more than he loved himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So your possessions, you know, when you sell your possessions, and you didn't even drop it, you give everything to the poor. It shows you love that person beyond yourself. Hallelujah. See, love, once, I said this out last week, that once love is not sacrificial, once love, or it is called agapao or agape, when it is sacrificial. That is, you lost something. You gave, let me use the word lost, you gave something with the expectation of nothing. That is agape. Did you see? When you gave with the expectation of nothing, no reward back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus loves us so much, and he gave himself for us. Hallelujah. So what drove them to give was what? Love, meet needs, right? And they weighed it above material possession. Take note, they were not compared nor cajoled to give. We'll get to see that shortly. They were not compared, neither were they cajoled to give. In Acts 5, just the next chapter, Acts 5, just the next chapter, we now see Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. I'm going to spell a lot of readers. Now, someone has asked that question.
Were they believers? Were they not believers? You know? I want that answer in this teaching. So I'll do it short. Hallelujah. You see whether they were believers or not.
But you know, Ananias and Sapphira. Were they believers? Ah. Does this happen? You are not focusing on the main thing. Hallelujah. What's the main thing? Look at Peter's response will help us out on what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. He says, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they carried, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down on her feet. No, sorry, go up a bit. Verses 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? One is that they lied. Did you see? They lied. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. Why it remained? Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own, under your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? That you have not lied to men but to God. Now, here is the issue. You know, every other person sold and brought everything. Now, they sold. They did not bring all, and they lied. What was the lie? The lie was that what they brought was all. Did you get that? Amen. So, look at Peter's response. He says, is it not all yours? If you sold it, I didn't even bring it at all. Is it not still yours? Meaning, they were not compelled. Did you see? Okay, so even if you sold it and you kept part, is it not still yours? Did you see? So, really, there was no compulsion or proportion. Did you get it? Is it not serious? But you have lied. So the main point of Ananias and Sapphira was that they did what? They lied. They lied. Amen. They lied.
That shows that they have dishonesty.
I don't know why I actually referred myself in my notes to Ephesians 4. Let's look at Ephesians 4. I have a reference to Ephesians 4:25. Let me quickly look at that. Okay. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Not for we are members of one another. Did you see? He said, put away lying. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 3, the same thing. Colossians 3, verse 9. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put up the old man with his deed.
So lying is in the nature of what? Of the old man. Hallelujah. I'm trying to be very discreet with what I'm saying now. Hallelujah. So he says, you put off lying. So it's something that you do consciously. Glory to God. You put off lying.
So they were dishonest and deceitful. They were dishonest and deceitful in their attitude.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So what is clear here was not that they gave, but they what? Their motive for giving was dishonest and deceitful.
Glory to God. Dishonest and deceitful. You know, when I was able to give in honor, right? Right? And we give as a worship.
In Acts 11:30, there was need. Acts 11:30. No one is dealing with the book of Acts. Acts 11:28-30.
And one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world. And it happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. These they did also, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Paul. And so on. Hallelujah. Very clear. And you see, what did they do? They gave to meet the need in Judea. Hallelujah. Now, another thing to look at, that they gave according to their ability. That word ability is the word that implies to give according to how you have prospered. They gave according to how they have prospered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at that verse 9. According to his ability, determine. That word determine is the word horizon, to mark out, like you mark out a boundary. Hallelujah. So it shows their decision. No one was compelled. It was their decision. They mapped out. They marked out, this is what we will do. So it was their decision. No one was compelled on what proportion to give. They gave to ensure Judea had no need. Do you see that? To ensure that Judea had no need. Glory to God. In Acts 20, what we'll see later from 34, as we close this section, Acts 20 from verse 34. He said, you yourself know that these hands are provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul admonishes believers to walk. We'll see that later. To support the weak. The weak will be those who believe and lack. Those who are believers that lack. In the congregation, he said, everyone should, he admonishes for believers to walk with their hands so that they can meet the needs of the local church. Can you see? To meet the needs of the local church. So in our giving, we give to meet needs, to meet up the needs of those in the local church who lack. So it is evident from the synoptic and the book of Acts that no one gave out of compulsion. That is, when I mean compulsion, I mean no one was cajoled to give. They gave as a sign of discipleship. Please mark that. They gave as a sign of discipleship to meet the need of others who lack in the local church under the authority of the pastor. Remember, even when the brethren were to send gifts or send materials to Judea, they gave it through the leadership, and the leadership assigned to Barnabas and Saul. Hallelujah. So the leadership controls how things are actually, or how giving is done in the local church. So we meet again.